Okay, Perek of Dalet, chapter 2400 at the bottom, 58 on top. In the previous chapter, the Alter Rebbe explained the difference between mitzvahs and learning Torah. When you learn, when you do mitzvahs, mitzvahs are the limbs of Hashem. Limbs of the person are bottled to the neshama, but they are not the neshama itself. When it comes to learning Torah, Torah is one thing with Hashem, and therefore when a person studies Torah, they become one with Hashem. Mamish, one entity with Hashem. And therefore he explained that a person, that's why learning Torah is greater than all the other mitzvahs. So until now, the Alter Rebbe is speaking about the unity that a person has with Hashem when you learn Torah and you do mitzvahs. Now in Chav Dalet, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain what happens when you sin. What happens when a person goes against the Torah? Just like in Kedusha, mitzvahs and Torah are the ultimate bond with Hashem, when a person sins, it's the ultimate separation from Hashem. So he says it like this, one is opposite the next. The 365 biblical prohibitions. The Choli, so the Rabban, and anything rabbinically forbidden. The fact that they're against the will of Hashem, Hashem says, don't eat chazer, and you go eat chazer. So that's going against the will of Hashem. The Hovcha Mamish, a Mamish contrary to the will of Hashem. So what happens when a person does it? They become separated from the oneness of Hashem. Mamish, with the ultimate separation. Just like evil itself. Meaning as follows. When a person sins, the Rebbe is now saying they're as bad as the Chazer itself. They're idol worshippers. They have a din of idol worshipping. And soon the Alter Rebbe will explain they're even lower than the idol worshippers and the idols. A person who sins is worse than the idol. And he's worse than anything else. He's worse than as bad as the klipa. But why? Machmas hest upon him, shorotzen ha'ayin kanal, because of the concealment of Hashem's face. I'm going to give an introduction to this, explaining that difference between what klipa is all about, why a person who sins is as bad, and soon the Alter Rebbe is going to say they're even worse. What is the difference between things which are holy and things which are evil? Everything comes from Hashem. Everything is Hashem, and Hashem is an avid. If you learn Chumash today, Humakai Mishalelam Veina Ilam Makaimei, Rashi says, Hashem says, He is, everything in the world has godliness in it. Everything in the world is Hashem. Aveda Zara, an idol, its existence is from Hashem. It's not something that's not God, because if it's not God, it couldn't exist. What is the difference between Lahavda, 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 Lasefa Torah, which is the ultimate Kedusha, and an idol, which is the ultimate evil? Both Hashem are making them exist. If Hashem wouldn't make it exist, it wouldn't be. The difference is if Hashem is revealed in it or Hashem is hidden. If you have a light, okay, or better yet, if a person hides, they are not hidden from themselves. If you go hide behind a curtain, right, you're playing hide and go seek, you go hide behind a curtain, you are not hidden from yourself. For you, personally, there is no difference if there is a curtain or there is no curtain. You don't change. The only change is for the person trying to look at you. If there's no curtain, they see you. If there's a curtain, they can't see you. But the difference is not for you, it's for you. The difference is only for somebody else trying to look at you. Hashem is in everything. And therefore, as far as Hashem is concerned, there's no difference. The difference between Kedusha and Klipa is only how much godliness is covered. Kedusha is open godliness. Klipa is a lot of coverings. And sometimes you can take a light and cover it with 50 covers. You don't even realize there's a light there. to the extent that you would swear there's no light there. Because from your vision, it's completely non-existent. That doesn't mean, though, that there's no light in there. Just because you look at a dirt, earth, and you don't see the diamonds, doesn't mean the diamonds are not in there. The diamonds are there. They're just blocked from your vision. The definition of evil is those levels of godliness which are so concealed that you're totally unaware of the existence of God in it. But as far as Hashem is concerned, there's no difference. Therefore, Klipa and Avodah Zarah, Elokim Acherim, other gods, or as Rashi says, that others make them gods, because by definition there's only one God, that others make them gods, means Elokus is extremely concealed. Anytime a person goes against the will of Hashem, what does that mean? That what Hashem wants is non-existent in your world. In your world, it's completely concealed. Hashem says, don't eat it. Don't say it. Don't think it. Don't do it. Okay, and the person goes ahead and does it. That means at that moment, they are denying that Hashem's existence. And therefore, as Chassidus explains, it's really a Gemara. Every sin is idol worshipping. No matter what the sin is, it could be a rabbinic sin, it could be a biblical sin, it could be a hard sin, an easy sin, you know, more important sin, less important sin, whatever it is. Any sin is mamish against, and not only against Hashem, you are denying the existence of Hashem. If you would be aware of Hashem's existence, you wouldn't do something in front of His face which is contrary to His existence. So therefore, why are you sinning? Because in your world, God doesn't exist at the present moment. In your open world, in your action world, Hashem doesn't exist at that moment.
What's the difference between Klipa and Tumah?
Klipa and Tumah is, many times it's synonymous, but Klipas Noiga is also Klipa, but it's not necessarily Tumah. Usually Tumah goes on Dvarim or Asurim. Okay? Hashem says in Chumash, separate between Tumah meat and Tohar meat, kosher and non-kosher. But even kosher meat is still Klipa until you elevate it. Klipa literally means the shell. That's what Klipa means, right? Peeling. Klipa means a shell. What does the shell do? The shell blocks the fruit. It covers the fruit that you don't see it. Klipa covers godliness that you don't see the godliness that's in it. That's the difference, the definition of the word klipa. You have klipas noiga. Noiga means shine. We say in Kelod and Shabbos, Malayim ziv umafikim noiga, they're full of a ray and they give out a shine. Right? Klipas noiga means it's klipa, it's covered, it's concealed, but there shines within it a little bit of a ray of light. Shalosh Kibsa Timaeus, there is no revelation of godliness whatsoever. So when a person does an Aveda, they are actually mamash like an idol. And there's no godliness revealed in an idol. Right now that you're sinning, there's no godliness revealed in you. In a few lines, Alter Rebbe is going to say on the next page, Alter Rebbe is going to go even more. You know why you're worse than the idol? The idol had no free choice to be an idol. God made the idol to be an idol. Did the idol have a choice in it? No. A chazer doesn't have a choice to be a chazer, not to be a chazer. If a chazer, because it's treif, is shalosh klipas ha-tumeis, right? God made it as shalosh klipas ha-tumeis. So what do you want from it? It doesn't transgress the will of God. The chazer is shalosh klipas ha-tumeis, but it does exactly what God wants it to be. God wants it to be a chazer, it's a chazer. A person who chooses to sin, they chose evil. They didn't have to become evil. They chose to become evil. That makes them worse than the actual chazer, or actually worse than Avodah Zarah. In other places in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe takes it even a step further. Even if you don't sin, the fact that you could sin makes you worse than evil. Evil was created by Hashem to be evil. Evil objects were created by Hashem to be evil. The Yetzer Hara was created by Hashem to be evil. Right? The Yetzer Hara does its job. It's like everybody screams when the ticket guys write you a ticket. Yeah, everybody screams. You know something? They're doing their job. They are hired to give you a ticket. When they give you a ticket, they're doing their job. Right? They're not going against their job. They're doing what they're supposed to, what they're paid to do. Right? Klipa, I'm not comparing them to Klipa, but Klipa, Klipa, there's a very interesting observation I once made. When people are about to get tickets, they run out and they go crazy, even very wealthy people. And it's, let's say it's a 20, it's not anymore, but let's say it was a $25 ticket, yeah? They would go and yell and scream and fight. You know what? If you ask the person in show, give me $25, they wouldn't bat an eye. They take out the $25 and they give it to you. Yeah, when it comes to getting a ticket, they have a freak attack. Why is it? The answer is not the $25. It's a control issue. This guy or lady controlled me and made me, you know what I mean? It's not to do with the money, by the way. It's a control issue. But that's another, it's a parenthetical observation. What?
You said before that the difference between Kedusha and Klipa is how much light is in there, right?
Kedusha is no covering at all. Open. Right.
But if there's light, that means that it could be elevated. Shlosh Shteya. Shlosh Klipa Sitoyas cannot be elevated.
Right.
So there is no light.
That's what I said. There is a light, but it's so connected and bound to evil. There's light there, but it's so bound to evil, it cannot be connected. Because the Kedusha that's in it, as Al-Tareb explains, there's mutar and asur, permissible and forbidden. Chassidus explains, mutar doesn't mean permissible, mutar means untied, matir asurim, and asur also means bound and tied. Shalosh Klipa Tumeis is Asur. You know why Chazir is Asur? Not the Pshat, there's no Kedushin there. There is Kedushin there. But it's so bound to the Klipa that you can make 10 brachas on it, and you can eat L'Shem Shemayim, and you can, you know, whatever it is, you can never elevate that Kedusha, which is in there, because it's so bound to evil. Klipa Snoiga, the Kedusha is mutar, untied, unbound to the evil. And if it's not bound, you can separate it, which, by the way, is the concept of Beirer. Avedis HaBirurim is Beirer, like we're learning, to separate the good from the bad. That's the whole Aveda for the Jew. But both have light. The question is it bound to evil, that it's so tied to evil, no matter what you do with it, it's not going to go?
So the Shalosh Klipas HaTumeis, and the Shalosh Klipas Nova, is it other Klipa also?
No.
Okay, so what exactly, besides the Chazer, are the Shalosh Klipas HaTumeis?
Anything that the Torah forbids.
Mm-hmm.
All 365 negative commandments.
And then why is it three different levels instead of just one? Or why four? Whatever.
It's based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. Anan Godel V'Reish Mislakachas V'Roch Sara, whatever. But why is it three? I don't know. The Pell's three Klipas HaTumeis are one unit.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But it goes really even a step further. For instance, even the Shalosh Klipas HaTumeis, like a chazer, right? You can't eat it, but you can benefit from it. That means you can elevate not the eating of it, you can elevate, you can make a pigskin belt, right? You can make a pigskin, which you guys don't know too much, it's called a football. Football's nickname is pigskin because it's made from a pigskin, okay? And you could play with football. You could be makariv kids to Yiddishkeit through playing football, right? So you're elevating the chazer, but not the eating of the chazer. You're elevating the benefit of the chazer. Certain things, chometz and pesach, you can't benefit from. Arla, the first 3 years of a fruit tree, you can't benefit from. Over there, you can't even elevate the benefit of, not only you're not allowed to eat it, meat and milk. You can not only not eat it, you can't even benefit from it. That means the Shalosh Klipos HaTumeis penetrating even the benefit of it versus Shalosh Klipos HaTumeis of a Chazer that only forbid the eating of it but not the benefit from it. You understand? But it's still forbidden.
Okay, so Klipos Nova, that anything that's not overtly revealed as Kedusha. Sefer Torah obviously is
Kedusha.
Okay, so a table, that's Klipos Nova?
You have an apple before you eat is Klipos Nega.
Okay, that's food, right? Right.
But anything.
Anything, a table, a shoe, a hat.
Is this table holy?
It depends how you make it.
No, no, is a table holy?
It depends how you make it.
You go to Costco and you buy a table. Is that table holy in the store? Okay. If you take it and you utilize it to learn, a Shabbos table, whatever it is, then you're elevating the table to Kedusha. But it's Klipa. A table is Klipa. Klipa's mega because it's usable for something else. I mean, for something good. You could use the table to beat somebody up with. Then the table is lowered into Shalosh Klipos HaTumeis.
Okay, so while it's being used right now for learning, So is it still Klipos Nega?
It's still Klipos Nega elevated to Kedusha.
Until Mashiach comes.
And then?
I'm asking you.
No, I'm asking you.
I'm going to say no. It will not be Klipos Nega anymore.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. When Mashiach comes, Shalosh Klipos HaTumeis is going to become Kedusha. Es Ruach HaTume Avim Min Haaretz. The Medrash says, why is a pig called Chazir? Chazir comes with Lahachzir. The Mashiach comes, it's going to be kosher. It's going to be turned.
Once with Kedusha, then it becomes Kedusha. Why don't you use the same table for something else?
No, the difference is, if somebody sits on this chair to learn, right? The elevating the chair?
Yeah.
Right. Can the chair still be on the floor? Or you have to kiss it when it sits on the floor? I'm serious. I mean... You elevate the spark of Kedusha that's in it to Kedusha. But the chair still stays a chair.
Are people really going to eat chazer when Mashiach comes? It's going to be kosher, we're not
going to
eat it, right?
People are really going to eat it. You know, Labav Shechita Chazer. They're going to answer to a higher authority.
Okay, you don't know. You don't know answer? Or, I mean, really what?
No. It's going to be kosher.
Well, that's just so gross.
So it's gross. A lot of times you give your kids food to eat and they say it's gross. So, it doesn't mean you can't elevate it. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining that when a person sins, they're really not only as bad as Davei Dezara, they're even worse. Because Davei Dezara was made by Hashem to be Davei Dezara. It's not going against the will of Hashem. A person who sins is worse than the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara who convinces you to sin is doing exactly what Hashem told him to do. And he does a great job. But he's doing exactly what Hashem told him to do. The person who listens to the Yetzer Hara is worse than the Yetzer Hara. What?
You're going to say, what about the person who didn't sin yet? If you were saying something, but he has the possibility of...
That, another place in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says, the fact that you have the ability to sin, that you could become lower than it, that itself, even though if you don't actually sin yet, but potentially you could be worse than them.
Hashem made you like that.
Correct.
You're going to play the same concept. Hashem made it.
Yeah, but Hashem gives us free choice.
So Hashem made us with free choice.
Correct. But I'm saying the fact that Hashem gave us the ability to be able to choose evil, that in a certain respect, Chazik can't choose anything. We could, so we have the ability sometimes to sin in a way which makes us worse than animals. Listen, there's no other creature in the universe that could be as good as people or as bad as people. I mean, people could be either the ultimate good or the ultimate bad. Nothing else in the world can be worse. What's your problem?
No, according to the four levels of the world, shofar is higher than anything else, just by being what we are.
We have the potential to be the best. We have the potential to be the worst. There is nothing in the world as destructive as a human being. The potential of destruction. Nothing else in the world can destroy the world like a person could. Nothing else could better the world like a person does. The person, that's the whole point. Adam Hashem says a person is going to be like us. To know, be able to choose good and bad. This is the power Hashem gave a person. You could be the best or the worst. You could be the last in creation. You could be the highest in creation. You could be the earth. You could be Adam and Elion.
So if something has to show, like an earthquake or tsunami happens, that also is very, like, potentially causing a lot of bad things, right?
Did Hashem make that happen?
Yes.
What Hashem does is good or bad?
Ultimately good.
What Hashem... No, don't answer like a Jew. What Hashem does is good or bad?
Good.
Is it only ultimately good or it is good?
It is
good. Good. You learned the right answer, what to say. Good.
Really, if you think about it still, the way Hashem made the world is that the worst things that happen, whether you want to explain them as good or bad, it's often that's from human beings.
Yeah, but tsunamis and earthquakes don't come from human beings.
Right, but many more people died in, say, World War II than by any tsunami or by any earthquake.
Correct. Correct.
Thank you.
Now, a Jew is supposed to tell Hashem, we don't like this type of bad. I mean, we don't like this type of good that you're doing. Mm-hmm. We want open good. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, people do bad. Nobody else does bad. Because the definition of bad, of doing bad, is when you don't have to do what you're doing. You could choose good. You could choose bad. Something which is created to be bad, right? Nobody is going to punish the earth for making an earthquake. Nobody will punish the tsunamis, the oceans, for becoming a tsunami or a hurricane or tornado or floods or anything like that. Okay? Will the courts have a Supreme Court have a ruling on the water why it made a flood? And all the damage? No. You know why? Because the water didn't have the free choice to flood or not. The earth didn't have a choice to earthquake or not. Right? Correct? So therefore you can't punish if you don't have the free choice.
When you were saying though before about that we have the potential to do the worst as human beings though, but sometimes you see things that also appear to be kind of almost as, or even as bad as what human beings do. You know what I mean?
No.
That's what Chas v'Shalom, like a tsunami, whatever happens, when you see all the devastation, it seems to me as bad as when a human beings do bad things to people also.
The difference is, the people had the choice to do it or not. So as far as blame goes, by the way, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying tsunamis, we should daven for them. We should daven for earthquakes.
I used to daven for earthquakes when I was a little girl, so I didn't have to go to school.
Should have davened better for a snowstorm. No, but this is the difference. People are punished for the choice to do bad or good. You're not rewarded for doing good. The malachim are not rewarded for doing good when they do good, because they're programmed to do good. So you don't reward a person for doing what they're supposed to be doing, what they're programmed to do. And even in life, you don't reward children for going to school. That's what they're supposed to do. Right? You reward them when they do something extra. Right? But if a kid is given chores around the house, you don't reward them for doing chores around the house, because that's what they're supposed to be doing. You reward them when they go out of the way and do something extra, because then they had the choice to go out of the way to be extra good. That's the big difference. But a person, is the only, now the Rebbe is saying in Perek of Dalet, it's an unbelievable concept, that a person who sins is the worst thing that exists in the universe. Because nobody else has free choice. Even the idols don't have free choice. The pig doesn't have free choice. The person who has free choice and chooses bad over good, he is worse than the bad. Everything else is programmed. Hashem made the person with the ability of free will, and the person has to do what they need to do. But what's interesting, the Eibishter made a very extreme world. Take the four elements, right? Fire, air, earth, and water. Right? Each one of these four elements, the four fundamental elements, right? Each one of these could be devastating, or they could be the ultimate good. Fire, you need to cook food to eat. Fire is warmth, yet fire, God forbid, is devastating. Water, water is water, but a flood is terrible. Air, you have to breathe air, but a hurricane is disastrous. Earth, everything grows from the earth. Yet at the same time, if you have an earthquake, it could be devastating. So each one of the elements, you know, and the ultimate thing is, you know, if somebody asks a question, is a knife good or bad? The answer is, it depends what you do with it. There was a joker. He used to mock everybody. And he once held a bird in his hand. Okay? A little bird in his hand. And he asked a wise man, tell me, is the bird alive or dead? And the Chochem understood that if he says alive, the guy will kill it with his bare hand. Right? If he says it's dead, he's going to make it alive. He's going to show that it's alive, right? So the joker wanted to make fun of this Chochem. He said, tell me, if you're such a smart man, tell me if the bird alive or dead. So the Chochem was very smart. He said to him, whether the bird is alive or dead is totally up to you. You can make it alive, you can make it dead. I mean, you can keep it alive, you can make it dead. He says, don't ask me the question, because the answer is up to you. It's not up to me. The Chochem threw the question, it's up to you. If you want, it's alive. If you want, it's dead. And that's, in life, it's the same thing. Either everything is good, everything's bad.